Romans chapter 3, we're going to take you there. I'm going to continue our study through the book of Romans for Sunday school, and then because it's Roaring Lion Sunday, we'll preach the devil out of the devil in our morning service. And so you look forward to that. Romans chapter 3, very important what we've been building up to. We'll do a quick review about Romans 1 and 2, not in depth, just give you a quick overview. And then I want to get into this chapter, Romans chapter 3. We'll begin reading verse number 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Heavenly Father, meet with us this morning. Lord, help us as we study the Bible. Lord, thank you for this incredible book, foundational book, Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, as we study this portion of it, that you would open our eyes, help us to appreciate, Lord, more what you've done for us. And Lord, thank you for Jesus above everything. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think Romans chapter 2 and 3 are written to establish one main truth, and that's this. When it comes to sinfulness, there's no difference between the Gentile and the Jew. Matter of fact, there's no difference in any man. And when it comes to salvation, there's no difference between how the Gentile must be saved and how the Jew must be saved. I think Romans chapter 2 just teaches us something, if I could put it in a nutshell, and that's this. The ground's level at the cross. You know, when it boils right down to it, folks, if we're going to be saved, we all got to be saved the same way. You know why? Because we all have the same problem. And so Romans is written, as we looked in chapter 1, verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. But in Rome, even though this was a Gentile city, there was a large contingency of Jews that lived there at the time of Paul's writing. Matter of fact, I read one commentator that said that more Jews at this point in time lived in Rome than in any other place in the world. Now think about that. And so he was dealing with a large number of Jewish believers, also though joining into the same church with a large number of Gentile believers. And that was causing a little bit of conflict, you know, because the Jews, they began to, assert themselves in a way that Paul had to correct. He is going to start chapter 3, verse 1 by saying, is there an advantage to being a Jew? And he said, yes. And he said, I'll tell you the chief advantage, and we'll see that in just a second. Folks, Gentiles did not have a godly heritage. The Jews had a godly heritage. And by the way, when we get to the end of this chapter, we're going to make some application. You know, there's people that are sitting in this church now, and you know what? Your parents were Christians, and your grandparents were Christians, and your great-grandparents were Christians. You know what? That's an awesome thing to have a Christian heritage. But sitting in the same pew with you may be someone who's has no Christian heritage. They received Christ as their Savior. God showed mercy to you. But you know what? You say, preacher, if I was honest, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My grandparents weren't Christians. And honestly, we're kind of like a first generation when it comes to our own family unit as far as receiving Christ. Folks, it's almost, I think that's a good comparison to use, because that's almost what it was like when Paul's writing the Gentile believers who cannot trace a godly heritage, and the Jewish believers who could claim to have a godly heritage and then say, okay, is there a difference? Is there a difference in how God looks at them? Is there a difference when it comes to sinfulness? Is there a difference when it comes to how they have to be saved? And you know what? Okay. You know, I was a preacher's kid. Let me just kind of cut to the chase. I was a preacher's kid, raised a preacher's kid. You know what? I went to Sunday school class while I was young in this church with bus kids. Let me tell you something. A preacher's kid is a sinner just the same as a bus kid is a sinner. A preacher's kid has to be saved just like a bus kid has to be saved. There's no difference in the eyes of God, and God's just kind of going to take all of the air out of the balloon of pride in this chapter and get us to understand, hey, listen, be careful. Doesn't matter what your DNA is, Jews. Your DNA does not change the facts, some basic facts that are true of every member of the human race, and that's what we're going to deal with today. Remember, chapter 1, we chronicle the sinfulness and the wickedness of the world. And at the end of chapter 1, it's easy for us, if we're not careful, to rise up and say, look how wicked the world is. And in chapter 2, we're cautioned to be very careful that we're not so busy pointing out how wicked the world is that we do not guard against those same sins creeping into our own lives. It's so easy to judge how wicked the world is. And sometimes we're so blinded to how much wickedness we're allowing in our lives, how much sin has snuck into our homes. So folks, listen to me. I think that's a danger that all of us have to face. I think it's just human nature to be able to see more clearly the faults of others than it is to see our own faults. Come on, someone say amen right there, all right? I mean, it's just true. So easy, come on, as parents, so easy to look at some other parents and watch the way they're raising their children and become critical and not even see your own flaws in your child rearing. And, you know, to look at a husband or, come on, men, and say, boy, he's just not a very good husband. He could do this better, that better. And while you're telling your wife this, she's sitting there smiling and shaking her head, but in her mind she's thinking, you know what, you could learn some things a little bit about being a better husband too, you know. And it's just human nature. It's who we are. And folks, be very careful about that, because that's a real danger. And I think the Jewish believers came into church a little puffed up because they were in the presence of the Gentile believers. But what I said chapter number 3 is going to do, folks, it's going to take all the air out of everybody's balloon. It's going to take us right down to who we truly, really are. And why do we need to get there? Because, folks, if we try to insert any of our righteousness in the salvation process, first of all, we defile a pure salvation. But also, we steal glory from God. And God is going to take chapter 1, 2, and 3 just to take all the human race down to the basis of what we truly are. Because you know what? When we get in chapter 4, 5, and 6, and we're introduced to the gospel and the grace of God, folks, listen to me, we're never going to fully appreciate what Jesus did as long as we down deep in our heart think, well, yeah, it took God's grace to save me, but not as much grace as it did to save him. Yeah, it took forgiveness for me, but not as much forgiveness as for him. And God's going to take all of us down and say, listen, let's just Let's just get that thinking out of our head, okay? Can you see that Jewish Christian? Well, yeah, I trusted in Jesus, and yes, I needed Jesus to get to heaven, but boy, I sure didn't need him as much as that Gentile needed him. You know what? Be careful, folks, because we're going to talk about it in the morning service just real quickly. If I'm going to talk about the devil's last roar, I'm going to start by talking about the devil's first roar. And his first roar that started this whole mess was when he stood up. And that old pride, come on, that old pride came into his heart. You know, it was Augustine that said that pride turned angels into devils. Come on, think about that. It'd be a good thing to write in the fly leaf of your Bible. Because I've watched pride turn good church members into devils. I'm talking about saved people into devils. You got to fight that pride all the time. Okay, you know, so we're going to just let chapter 3 be that steamroller. It's just going to come in. It's going to flatten everything. Are you ready? So this is good. It's good for us so that we can fully appreciate the grace of God. Let me take you real quick to Romans chapter number 11, because I'm hearing things, you know, there's so many false doctrines that swirl around. And because of the influence of the internet, it seems like our church members are being more affected by some things that I would never even mention. There's a lot that goes on I don't even bring to the pulpit here. You know, Brother James, everything that's being fought on a national scene, your people don't even need to know about it. And sometimes we bring it in, and they wouldn't have even heard about it if we hadn't mentioned it. But, you know, there's this confusion out there concerning the statement we find in Romans chapter 11, verse number 26. Let me just kind of address it, because it absolutely fits into what we're going to say this morning. This little phrase that says this, I won't teach the, we'll get to chapter 11 and I'll teach it in context. But there's people that are pulling this out of context, and it says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And people are taking that "all Israel shall be saved" and saying basically this: you know what? God, Israel, Jews are God's chosen people. And whether or not they have received Christ or not received Christ, God is going to, in the end, at the judgment seat, excuse all Jewish people, all Israel, and allow them into heaven despite what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the gospel while they were here on earth. Now, folks, listen, I can't believe that something like that's creeping into Baptist churches. Have we lost our minds? I mean, I'm going to show you when we teach chapter 11, what a mishandling of the scriptures. And so we've got to be careful about this. I mentioned the other day, folks, listen, I know some churches that have gotten so pro-Israel and pro-Jew. And by the way, you've heard me say this. I understand the Abrahamic covenant. I understand. And we have been a blessed nation because we were the first to recognize Israel as a nation back in 1948. We've stood by Israel. I understand the impact of that. But if you're not careful, you're going to swing that pendulum all the way over here. Listen, folks, some of the most wicked people in the world are Jewish people. Not all of them, but some of them. I mean, you better dig into that pile a little bit. Some of the most ardent anti-Christ, anti-Christian organizations. I mean, why in the world are we sending missionaries to Israel? And usually the average one, they're lucky to stay there 18 months. Because Israel, listen, folks, I'm talking about the government of Israel. I'm talking about the political scene. They are in constant high alert to try to find anybody that comes into Israel and tries to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the minute that they find them and they can prove it, you know what they'll do? They'll put them on a plane and they'll send them right out of there. And you know what? They'll never be allowed. Okay, listen, folks. Okay, I understand tribulation period. I understand that 70th week of Daniel. I understand that there's going to be a time that God turns back and deals with the Jews. And I understand that there will be a time in the tribulation period where all of the Jewish people that are left will turn to Christ. That's what that's not talking about. It doesn't mean it's a free pass. But wait a minute. I'm wondering if some of that started being talked about in the early part of the book of Romans here, and Paul just doesn't have to say, now, wait a minute. There's not a Jewish way to get to heaven and a Gentile way to get to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so some of the basis of even what we're dealing with today when we fight some of these false teachings that creep in, we have to stand up and say, wait a minute, time out. Anytime somebody's trying to figure out a way somebody went to heaven, Old Testament, before Calvary, after Calvary, listen, you either come through faith in Jesus Christ, Old Testament saints' faith in what Christ would do, us in faith in what Christ did do. Folks, you try to create any other time. Come on, we're hyper-dispensationalists. Want to divide in all of history into certain dispensation. This dispensation, you were saved this way. And this dispensation, it's okay, stop. No, you're going to go through Jesus or you're not going to go at all. And so we got to guard that thing. Because, boy, people can come across this as biblical theologians and scholars, and they can scatter scripture around and rearrange and pull things out of context. And next thing you know, you're going to fall into that stuff. Be careful who you're following on the internet. I just want to say this, folks. I wouldn't let the internet pastor me. Hey, I go on the internet from time to time and listen to messages. I mean, that's a source for me to be able to get on, listen to preachers who are no longer even alive. What a blessing to listen to John R. Rice preach every once in a while. I love listening to Lester Roloff every once in a while. But folks, listen to me. Be careful that you're not letting some of these modern day preachers that are gaining an internet following. And you know what, folks? They're 95% of what they preach is shotgun straight. But you know, remember this, rat poison is 98% good food and 2% poison. It still kills the rat. So be careful of what you're listening to, and especially some of these new doctrines. Bunch of guys wanting to discover new things. Well, folks, if it's new, come on. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. I mean, come on. All right, so be careful about this stuff, all right? All right, let's get into it. Here we go. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. We'll begin there. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? He said, okay, is there an advantage? What did God give some advantage to the Jewish nation? He said, much every way. But he said this, chiefly, so he said the number one way in which they have an advantage and were given an advantage was, what's it say there? Because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The word oracles means the utterances of God, or it was through them that the words of God were delivered to the human race. So they had one chief advantage. They had God's words before the rest of us had God's words. And folks, anybody that has God's word has an advantage over someone who doesn't have God's word. Now remember, we went back chapter 2, I won't reteach this, but you know what? Paul wasn't given the Gentiles a pass because they didn't have the words of God. He said, you were given a conscience. Okay, and we're not going to restudy that. But yes, isn't it an advantage to have the Bible? Isn't it an advantage that the delivering of the Bible, that the safekeeping of the words of God, that as a young Jewish man, he could go to the synagogue and have the very words of God read to him where a Gentile had no contact? Was that an advantage? I'd say so. You know, I think that's why it's good for us to support Bearing Precious Seeds and other ministries that are into Bible publishing. Folks, we need to get the Word of God in the hands of everybody. Yes, one of the new branches, one of the new projects that they've taken on, it used to be separate. Now it's kind of come under the umbrella of Bearing Precious Seed, is what they call First Bible. And matter of fact, we give a special donation every year to whatever. Every year they take a language that has never had the Bible printed in that language, and they work with the translators, and every year they're producing a Bible for a people group that's never had the Word of God in their language every year. And I love that. I'm excited about that. You know why, folks? Because we need the Word of God. You know what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need the Bible involved. We want people to have the Bible. So, yeah, is there an advantage to being a Jew? Yep, one chief advantage. Unto them were committed the oracles of God, the utterances of God. Having been given the word of God, certainly should give people an advantage to discovering the message of both sinfulness and salvation. But the fact that they're walking around and say, we're the ones that God entrusted with the Bible, so somehow that gets us a way to heaven that the Gentiles don't have. No, it just gives you the information that you need so that you can understand your sinfulness. What was the purpose of the giving of the law, folks? You know, it was to prove to each and every one of us, that schoolmaster, to teach us that we're imperfect, that we're sinners. And so they did have that advantage. But if some Jews do not believe the word of God that has been committed to them, well, what if they choose not to believe it, though? Even though they have it, they choose not to believe it. Do they still get a free pass? Look at verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, what he's saying is, I'm a Jew. I don't believe the words of God, even though they were entrusted to us. But I'm a Jew, so it's okay because I'll get to heaven anyway. Even though he is in a state of unbelief, God says, no. And then look at the next two words, verse 4. God forbid. Sorry. You know what? You may be able to say, hey, I'm telling you what, I can trace my lineage all the way back to the Levite tribe. And you know what? I've got a heritage and I've got an ancestry full of the priests and those that handled the Bible. Good for you. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because if not, you know what? And you die in that state, you're going to go to a devil's hell. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter who you're related to. Okay, so again, we're getting everything evened out. Let's get this. Let's put away man's pride. Verse 4, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And so you know what he's saying? He's saying this, your DNA does not make your faith of God without effect. Your DNA does not make God an unrighteous God for judging your sin. Because if we're going to go down that road and we're going to say, well, then faith is not necessary for salvation, and God judges part of the human race as being guilty and having to go to hell because of their unbelief, but he's not going to judge your portion of the human race because of the DNA that you happen to have, God said, no, that's not how it's going to work. You know, it's going to be a level at the cross. So Jews, listen, Jews, your DNA does not make faith in God of none effect. You still have to have faith in God. Your DNA does not make God an unrighteous God for judging your sin. That's what these verses are teaching. Your DNA does not allow your unrighteousness to commend the righteousness of God. Very interesting. Verse number 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, preacher, what does that even mean? That word commend, if you'll look it up, one of the definitions, one of the interpretations of that word is means to stand alongside as equal. Now think about that, to stand alongside as equal. Now think about that. Let's read it with that in mind. But if our unrighteousness is allowed to stand before God as equal to the righteousness of God, whoa, time out.
Right.
Time out.
That's right.
Okay, I'm unrighteous, I'm a sinner, but I'm a Jew. I choose not to believe in Christ, but I'm a Jew. So I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to go to heaven one of these days. And he said, no, your unrighteousness is not going to be allowed to stand up as equal to the righteousness of God. That's why we're going to read, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we're going to read that, see. God forbid. We see that in verse number 4. We see that in verse number 6. Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? In other words, if a Jewish person in their sin and in their unbelief stands before God and God takes vengeance upon them, which means sends them to a devil's hell, then you know what? Is God unrighteous to do that? No. No. And then it goes on to say in verse number 6, God forbid, how then shall God judge the world? In other words, listen, there's got to be a standard to make him a righteous judge. And he's got to stay to that same standard. God is no respecter of persons. And I mean this, Americans need to hear this. I'm not sure there's not a segment of the world that just doesn't believe. Well, I know what the Bible says, and I know about salvation. I know the plan of salvation, but I think when I stand before God and God takes a look at me and understands who I am, folks, that's all pride.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter. But you don't know what I've done for the poor. It doesn't matter. You don't know how much money I've given to charity. It doesn't matter. You don't know how good I am to my neighbors. It doesn't matter. You know what, folks? All the good we can possibly do in this world, you know what? We're going to find out in just a minute. All the good we can do in this world does not erase our sinfulness. And even our good, and this is, again, taking the air all the way out of the balloon. Even our good is tainted with sin. For our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah says. So, folks, you say, well, I did something good. I went and went out of my way and I helped somebody. I promise you that even the best thing Jerry Ross has ever done has been tainted some with sin. You know what? It's funny. Someone says, well, not me. I did this week for somebody. Oh, yeah? How many people have you told about it? Why did you feel the need to tell people about it? You know why? Let me just say it. Because we're a mess. Now, if you'll just get all the way down to this and stop just trying to be, yeah, I needed to be saved, but not as bad, or yeah, I'm sinful, but not as bad. Or you know what's good for this preacher's kid is to go to Bible college, go to the streets of Chicago, and you know what? Be walking to my car late at night and watching a drunk with puke all over the front of him come up to me and almost get in a fist fight with me because he wanted me to give him a dollar. Because he was hungry. He wasn't hungry. He wanted to take that dollar. I was standing right across Burger King. I said, I'll go right over in there and buy you a hamburger and fries. I'll bring it back to you. And he said, no, I don't like the food there. Just give me a dollar. And you know what? As he stumbled away after that encounter, Holy Spirit of God told me, listen, it took as much of the grace of God to save a little 5-year-old boy at Rock Run Baptist Church than it would to save that man right there. Folks, listen, we got to get over ourselves. We got to get over ourselves. Okay? We're just as wicked. You know, the Bible says that if we are guilty in one point of the law, we're guilty in all. Well, at least I haven't. Yes, you have. You say, well, I know people that's broken all 10 of the 10 commandments. Yeah, I do too. You. Well, I've never committed adultery. Well, let's talk about what Jesus said. Come on, men. You want to go in a private room and have a talk?
Come on.
I mean, you know, if we're not careful, we've got this. Come on. We're because of our heritage, I'm a member of, come on, let me just say, because of our last name, because we have such a good testimony in the community. Well, good for you. That didn't make you any less of a sinner than a dope addict. Doesn't make you any less sinner than a prostitute. Amen. Preacher, I don't like this. Well, if we don't get down to this, you're never going to appreciate the grace of God. And by the way, you're always going to have that little bit of haughtiness. That little bit about, you know, well, you know, pastor's spending time with this family. They're a bus family. Why didn't he spend more time with us? Oh, so you're better than them? Come on, you might not say it, but that's what you're thinking. You know, once I got a really clear view of who Jerry Ross is, you know what? Come on. Well, how do you get that? Same way Isaiah got it.
Yes, sir.
He got it close enough to the presence of God where he saw the holiness of God. You know what? He fell on his face and said, woe on me, for I'm undone. And he's probably could have been the greatest Christian of his day. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Folks, listen to me. The men that got close to God, show me any place in the Bible where someone got close to the presence of God and didn't end up on their face.
Yes,
and you know, I think sometimes what we do, watch this, is we don't want to get to God, close to God, and compare our righteousness with his righteousness. We want to, come on, commend ourselves among ourselves. Word commend means what? I'll stand myself up about everybody around. Come on, I'll compare myself among myself. And then I can always feel good about myself. Well, you get close to God, you know what? You get rid of all that junk. And you know what? It's good. It's good. It's good for us. All right? Come on, Jews. Your DNA doesn't allow your unrighteousness to stand by the righteousness of God. Your DNA does not make God unrighteous when he takes vengeance when he judges the world. Your DNA does not allow you to live an evil, unrepentant life and be counted as just before God. Sorry. So does being a Jew make your sinfulness less sinful or God's salvation less necessary? We get in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Remember, Paul's a Jew and he's writing this. When he says, are we, he's talking about Jews. We better than they? No, in no wise. In no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, watch this, that they are all under what? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, there's still enough pride in all of us that we say, okay, Paul, we get it. Stop there. He goes, no, I'm not going to stop there. Holy Spirit's not letting me stop there. Holy Spirit wants us to take us all the way down, get rid of all this stinking stuff, standing between us and really having a true appreciation what God did when he saved us. Okay, because he's going to go on. They're all gone out of the way. They are together. They are together become unprofitable. There is none. Notice these phrases. They are all. They are together. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Okay, that's enough. No, I'm going to take, now we're going to start with your throat. I'm going to point out all the parts of your body and how wicked they are. All right. You know what? This is good. Come on. This is good. This will take this, well, you know, this kind of pride looking down your nose at people. And, you know, well, when did they come? I can't see them being a fit for Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I just can't see them being a fit for Blessed Oak Baptist.
Come on.
What? You said that out loud? You thought that? What makes you think that you're better than anybody else that walks in the door here? By the grace of God, none of us are a fit for Blessed Oak Baptist Church or any other church. Come on, let's just get it all the way out. Let's get this cleaned out of our church, all right? If it's there, let's get rid of it. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. And they're not a one of you. Anybody would want to jump up at any point in this and say, well, that may be true of the rest of the human race, but let me tell you something. It's not true of my throat or my tongue. You just jump on up. It'll be entertaining. I promise you, it'll be entertaining. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. The sinful state of the human race. He says, all right, let's go through your anatomy. Your throat's an open sepulcher. Your tongue used to see. Your lips contain the poison of asps. Your mouth's full of cursing and bitterness. Feet are swift to shed blood. Your ways are destruction and misery. And the way of peace you've not known. Their eyes, there's no fear of God. What's the conclusion? Verse 19 and 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Guilty! Guilty.
Come on.
Folks, listen, the only people that truly get saved are those that know that they're lost. And you know why some folks can't let go of good works? Because they'll never get to the point where they realize they're hopeless, hopelessly lost, hopelessly sinful, hopelessly wicked. And when you get to that point, you know what? You're looking for anything that can bail you out because you can't help yourself. And you know what? When a person gets to that point, man alive, Jesus steps forward, reaches down with one of those nail-scarred hands and says, well, let me tell you something. There's a way out of that mess. Amen? There's a way to be saved. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Folks, what's the conclusion? Every mouth is stopped. All the world stands guilty before God. No flesh shall be justified in his sight. So this whole idea, we'll hit on it briefly in the message of showing up the white throne judgment, being judged by your own works, and somehow that's going to work out for you. It's not going to work out for you. Everyone that stands there and is judged by their own works is cast in the lake of fire. Listen, if it wasn't for Jesus, you know what? If it wasn't for what Jesus did, this old lost sinner would burn forever in hell and deserve it. And deserve it. And so, you know what? I'm a saved sinner by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I'm a saved sinner. I'm no better than anybody else. Get on a plane. Come on. Go to third world countries. Walk around as a haughty American. Look and go, yee. I wouldn't wear that. I wouldn't live there. I wouldn't eat that. Listen, we're no better than anybody else. And Jesus Christ died for the sins of all the world. Well, preacher, that's got us down to where we're wondering, is there any hope? Well, that's good. That's where we need to get. How about this? Verse 21, look at the first two words. But now. All right, now we got you there. We got you there. Took all the air out of the balloon. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how do we get saved? Not anything good in us. Now, don't bring one work with you. Okay, don't make one argument for self-righteousness. Forget it. You don't have any, neither do I. Okay, being justified freely. How? By his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, I like this because the last closing verses, we're going to give a conclusion. Verse 28, look at that. Therefore, we conclude. Okay, what are we going to conclude? What is this whole chapter going to bring us to? That a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay, listen, it's either done or do. There's two religions. D.L. Moody said it right. Okay, if you say, well, I believe in what Jesus did, but I need to, leave it alone. Just believe in what Jesus, the finished work of Christ, finished work of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what we preach. That's the way it must be. Is he the God of the Jews only? Verse 29. Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. He said, okay, you snooty Jews. Stop looking down your nose across the other. You know, okay, Jews are sitting on this side. Gentiles are sitting at this side. Or there's someone sitting in the front. One sitting, come on. When you gather before church and after church, all the Jews are talking, all the Gentiles, you know, stop that. Let's mingle, let's mix, because you know what? We're all in the same boat.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's not separate. And it says, verse 30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. God is the God of both the Jews and the Gentiles. Faith in the finished work of Christ is necessary for all men to be saved, both circumcision, uncircumcision. Faith does not make void the law. It establishes the law. And that last verse will propel us into chapter number 4. Practical lessons. American Christians are tempted to divide ourselves into two groups, much the way the Roman Jews did. Those in the church with a Christian heritage, those in the church without a Christian heritage. Core kids and bus kids. Come on, we use the terminology. I understand why we say stuff like that to identify how to reach or help other groups, but be careful. Okay, come on, parents. This is where it gets real hard. But your little precious darling, you know what? Jesus didn't love them any more or any less than any of these kids that come off the bus, no matter what their home situation is. He loves them just as much as he loves your kids. And you know what? Would to God we had that heart, the heart of God in that. Number 3, no matter your family heritage, it does not make your sin any less sinful or your need of salvation less necessary. Thank you, Lord, for giving us Romans chapter 3. Because you know what it does? It just gets us down where we need to be. Come on, humility. Let's get humble. Let's just realize, hey, you know what, folks? We're not having to reach down at some sinner to pull him up. We reach across Jesus is the one that reached down and had to pull all of us up. So what? Let's embrace people. Listen, let's embrace people from all different kinds of backgrounds, all different races, creeds. It doesn't matter. Let's preach Jesus to them. Anybody that receives Christ as their Savior is a brother of mine. Any woman is a sister of mine. You know what? We're all in the family of God. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd take these thoughts and, Lord, help us. Thank you for the book of Romans, Lord, and thank you for all that it is doing in my heart as I studied it. Bless the servants that will fall in Jesus' name. Amen.